preach, we'd be glad to do that. And let me invite you in your Bible to John chapter 8. So that so many people that it's not just that they haven't heard. Many have heard, but they doubt whether he really exists or whether he doesn't. They're not sure whether he really is the Savior, whether he really rose again or not. And so there is this general spirit of doubt in our day, isn't there? And beside all this, and maybe the worst of it all, is a love for evil deeds. A love for evil deeds. In John 3, when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, "Not only for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He also went on to say that not everybody loves light. But some men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so there is a love for evil deeds today that combines with the blindness caused by Satan and the deadness of men's hearts to God and spiritual things. It makes this spiritual darkness that I'm speaking about. The whole world was lost in darkness of sin until one day. Until one day when the glorious light of the world dawned the eastern skies. Until this light came into the world. Now that he has risen from the dead, he blazes with noonday glory. He is the light of the Jews. He is the light of the Gentiles. He is the Savior of our God, the salvation of our God, and the Savior of the world. The light of the world is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, in the next 20 minutes or so, it's my aim to tell how Jesus is the light of the world and how followers of Jesus walk in the light when others don't. So first, how Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said this to many who had gathered in the temple in John chapter 8. He'd been teaching in the temple for several days during the Feast of the Tabernacles. He came to Jerusalem during this feast, about the middle of the feast, in John chapter 7, and he'd been teaching. And this, at the beginning of John chapter 8, begins the day following the feast, when he rose early in the morning and he went back to the temple. And then he came and gathered together once again to hear his teaching. The beginning of John chapter 8, you might know from verse number 1 down to verse 11, is the story of the woman who was taken in adultery. That story, you might think of it separately, but it's an interruption to the teaching of Jesus in the temple. He came early in the morning and people gathered together to hear his teaching. He sat with them in the court of the women teaching. And interrupting his word were the Pharisees and Sadducees, who dragged into the court of the women a woman who was taken in the sin of adultery. And they interrupted his lesson to challenge him and try to catch him up and find a way to accuse him. But rather than read it all, you know the story, that they said, "This woman, taken in adultery, we don't know what to do with her. The law of Moses says that we should stone such a woman." But Jesus pretended or paid no attention to what they were saying. He stooped down to the ground and he wrote with his finger in the dirt. And when they persisted to ask him more, "Jesus, what are we going to do with this woman?" He rose and he turned to them with these words. He said, "You who are without sin, cast the first stone against her." And then he turned his face back to the ground and wrote in the sand again. And one by one, beginning with the eldest and going down to the youngest, they stepped back into the shadows. Perhaps they even left the temple altogether. All of them being guilty, either of that particular sin of adultery, or at least guilty of taking this woman in order to set up the Lord Jesus with the wickedness of their hearts, not caring for her, not caring for the law of Moses, not concerning with justice, but with accusing the Son of God that they might kill him. Or they were trying to find a way that they could put him to death. They departed and left that woman alone. And Jesus lifted up his head and said to her in verse 10, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." And now Jesus turns back to the crowd, maybe even back to the same lesson that he had been teaching with this woman there as an example of his mercy, of his justice, of the light of his word that it sheds on men and our sin. He says in verse 12, our text, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." How was Jesus the light of the world in this passage? It may not appear so at first. It may not appear so because his teachings were heard by many, but not by the whole world, were they? His rebuke to the Pharisees, the Sadducees that accused that woman, the rebuke was felt by many, but not by the whole world. As those Pharisees and Sadducees, they withdrew back into their darkness, the mercy and justice of the Lord was admired by many people, wasn't it? But not by the whole world. As he spake and as he continued to preach and teach through the rest of the chapter, many believed on him. Many believed that he was the Christ. Many believed that he was the Son of God, that he was the light of the world, but not the whole world. And so it didn't appear that he was the light of the world, of the whole world. But here's how he was. Jesus was and he is the light of the world in at least these four ways. Let me point them out. Firstly, there was and there is only one light. Do you believe that this morning? There was and there is only one light. There have been a lot of teachers in the world. There have been a lot of men and women that stand up and say they have the truth. They stand in television screens. They stand in radio broadcasts. They write their books. Of ancient books and new books alike, there are so many who say they have the light of truth. But there is one light to it. There is one light, and that is Jesus Christ, Amen. The light of the world. There are many who are bearers of the light, like we are, if we are witnesses of Jesus Christ, who go on teaching his message, who go on preaching his gospel, who go on witnessing what the light has done, shining in their own hearts. But we are no new light. We only tell others about one light, and that is Jesus Christ. This is how he was and is the light of the world. And secondly, because the entire world needs that light. There is only one light for the whole world. And every single person needs to see that light, needs to receive that light, needs to receive him, Jesus Christ, and to love him for who he is. And get this, this is the third thought, that God has made the whole world. He has made every single one of us in it, who've ever been in it, and whoever will be in it, to see the light. We have been made as a stage. We, the world, have been made, we, the universe, have been made to behold the light Jesus Christ. And not only that, to reflect that, the glory of God, the praise and the worship that that light deserves, to admire and love God for sending His light into the world. He made us to receive the light. We were no afterthought, but we were made in His image in order to see His glory and to love Him for showing us His mercy. And get this, one day, this is how Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Although His light shines upon all the world today, and that gospel which was once preached from the mouth of the Lord Jesus and then to His disciples who were sent into all the world, although that gospel has now gone to the corners of the world and is being preached now in places where it's never been preached before, in languages where it's never been heard before, and although His gospel is continuing to reach over every inch of the world, yet one day His light will shine like never before. We look forward to a time when His light will completely fill this world, completely fill up His creation, and there will be no more room for spiritual darkness. That's what we read about in Romans chapter 8. No more room for spiritual darkness or those who abide in spiritual darkness. Only those who love Christ and abide in Him, those who receive His light now in their lifetime, or have received Him in their lifetime and have died and gone to be with Him, will abide during that time when His light fills up all the world. This is how Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and He will be the light forevermore. But not everyone has received the light, have they? I want to speak lastly for the last little while on how followers of Jesus walk in the light and others don't. How followers of Jesus walk in the light when others don't. And we all live in this spiritual darkness today, don't we? Whether that darkness surrounds you, or if you are an unbeliever this morning, young or old, if that darkness be in you and in your heart, and filling up your heart this morning, we all are touched and affected by this spiritual darkness. But followers of Jesus have a different relationship to that spiritual darkness. Followers of Jesus cannot walk in spiritual darkness, Jesus said. You don't have to take my word for it. You're looking at me, but look down again at Jesus' words in John 8 and 12. Jesus said it Himself. He didn't stop by saying, "I am the light of the world." He said also, He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that phrase, "shall have the light of life," explains how we cannot walk in darkness. We cannot walk in darkness because we have the light of Christ in us. And if you have a light in you, if you have a light with you, you can't be in the darkness at the same time. You can't be in the dark if the light's on. Now, the light is quite a complicated thing. It's pretty simple, though. We know that if you go into a dark room and you find a light switch and you turn it up, unless something's broken in the bulb, that's going to come on. The light bulb is going to come on. Even the youngest child who doesn't understand electricity, doesn't understand physics, doesn't understand the light bulb has to be plugged in and doesn't know it has to be working, knows that if they flip on that light switch in the dark room when they're scared, that they will be all right. All they have to have is that light on and they'll be all right. child of God, if you have the light in you, if you have the light in you, then you cannot walk in darkness. Amen. And you cannot be alone. Because that light is the presence of God with you. And you can hold on to so dearly the truth of Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. That light is continually with you. That light in you is a new life, a new life of regeneration that comes with being born again. It comes with being born from on high. I said already that everyone born into this world the first time is born with that spiritual darkness in you. But what that being born again is all about is about receiving new life. It's about receiving the light of life into your life, into your heart. The light of Jesus Christ, the life of His Spirit, the everlasting life of God with you. For that light is an eternal life, which means that you abide with Jesus Christ now. For the promise of John 3:16 is that every single one who's believing in me shall not perish. So you have God's light with you now, and you will have that life forevermore. Because that light will remain in you both now and for eternity. No amount of darkness that surrounds you, no amount of pressure, a pull, or draw into that darkness will put out or extinguish the light of Jesus Christ. Because light conquers darkness, folks. And the light in you is stronger than the darkness of this world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter how alone you feel, no matter how dark your surroundings, how overcoming the tempest of sickness, of age, of disease, of loneliness, of the temptations of sin every day, nothing can triumph over that light that is within you. And hold on to that, brother, sister in Christ. Followers of Jesus Christ have a light, like a torch, a light that we can hold on to. It's not something that's fanciful or something cloudy or something pie in the sky. It's something very real, isn't it? Do you know that by your own experience? That light is something that you can hold on to. Like being in a dark room or a dark cave and you have a torch or a flashlight, something that's in your hand, something that you can hold on to. And we have that, and especially the place that we can hold on to, the Lord Jesus Christ, is through His Word and what He speaks to us. Isn't that true? Because Jesus went on to teach in John chapter 8, after a real confrontation with the disciples, with the Pharisees again, He comes back to those who believed in Him. He turns to those who have heard His Word and received it. In verse 31, Jesus says to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue, what? If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. He says, if you take a hold of My flashlight, My Word, that light can be carried with you, and you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And so that light, that torch that we can hold on to in this dark cave that we live in, this dark world of spiritual darkness, is the Word of God. And you know this by your own experience. With your light, you can see people around you. You can see that people are stumbling and falling in their own sin, can't you? With this light, you can see the people in your home, people in your neighborhood, people in your church, people in this country, and all around. People are stumbling and falling, running into the wall, running over the sea. same old potholes, tripping in the same old traps of Satan. So many of them blind, not even knowing what's coming, not even knowing that they've fallen down again, that the blind are leading the blind. But we can see it with the Word of God again. Can you think of that this week where you observed someone else falling in sin? You saw it coming, maybe they didn't. Maybe it's someone you love or someone you never met before. Just observed on the street. This ought to stir up compassion in our hearts. That we have His Word. We have a light that we can see. We can see the pitfalls of sin. We can see the traps of Satan. Others around us may not. They haven't received His Word. No one has been teaching them in Sunday school. No one has been preaching to them. No one has been instructing them, encouraging them to study their Bibles on their own. They do not have the light of life in their hearts. The Spirit of God to illuminate their study of the Word. And so they fall in sin over and over again. And may this stir up compassion in our hearts for them. With your light, you can see the evil deeds of men. And observe that they love their evil deeds. Think about this. Have this ever happened to you? As you approach someone, maybe not even saying anything, maybe just by your testimony, as you approach someone who may be doing something wrong, that they run away or they scoff at you because the light shines and reveal sin, doesn't it? The light of God's Word, the light of Christ in us, shines on other people around us and reveals sin. Paul knew this when he wrote Ephesians chapter 5 to those Ephesians, saying in verse number 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. So walk as children of light." He goes on to say, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Your life, the fruit of your life, will prove to others as a light shining what is acceptable unto the Lord. He goes on in verse 12 to say, "For it is a shame even to speak of things that are done in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." If we see others stumbling and falling in the darkness, run over and catch them. Run over and shine your light so that they can see the dangers of sin. But beware. And be ready. They may kick you. They may yell at you. They may not appreciate you coming to rescue them, to help them, to point out the dangers. Because the light shines to expose sin. It doesn't just expose other people's sin. It exposes your sin too, doesn't it? When you read the Word of God. I know it does because it exposes mine. As I read God's Word. But that's okay. It may not be okay with the unbeliever, but it's okay with me. It doesn't always feel good, right? But the child of God, the follower of Jesus Christ, continues to walk in the light and abide in the light, even when it reveals your sin. Because you have nowhere else to go. And you know that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word working in you is the best thing for you. Is the right thing for you. And is what God is using to work in you to make you more into the image of His Son Jesus Christ. And to work all things together for good to them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. say, Father, I see where I made such a mistake. I see where I sinned. I see where I went wrong. I see where I turned away from you, and like a sheep, I went astray again. And yet you sent someone. You sent your word to rescue me. Thank you, Father. I agree with you that I've sinned, and I pray that you will help me never to repeat the same again. Because you know that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Has that happened to you this week? Have you stumbled and fallen in sin? Maybe the same old trap again? And by the light of his word in your hearts and the spirit that's in you, you've been stirred in your conscience to confess your sin. That's a testimony of being born again. Or did you see your sin where you stumbled and you fell and you hid it from the Lord? Or you ran away into the darkness again, or you forgot about it because it was no big deal? That is a testimony that your light is dim or you haven't got one. That you haven't got one. That the light of Christ is not in your heart. If you can stumble and fall in the darkness of sin, of your own sin, and then get up and brush yourself off and go about your day forgetting your sin, not caring about it, then where is the light? Where is his word at work in your heart? Where is the testimony of his spirit with your spirit that you are the child of God, and a child of God who follows Jesus Christ does not walk in darkness? You cannot walk in darkness. I cannot abide in darkness. I can't stumble and fall and get up and go right back into the darkness again. When I've seen my sin, but rather the opposite. I must go back to the light. I must go back to the light. I hesitate because I know the frown of the Father is upon me. And yet I hold true. I hold that flashlight in my hand that leads me back to the Father. That word that says, he is faithful and just. He is true. And he will forgive me of my sin. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I don't have to be afraid of the darkness, but I can run to the light. Because the Father is waiting for me. Because the Son is advocating for me. He's praying for me at the Father's right hand. His Holy Spirit gives me the strength to do what's right. To confess my sins and to be victorious over my sin and to continue to serve him day by day. Day by day. So followers of Jesus Christ, we have his light in our hands. We have it in our heart. But we are not content with that. Followers of Jesus Christ who have the light are not just satisfied with having the light. They want others to have the light too. Is that true of you? You want others to have the light too. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. But he wasn't satisfied with just having the light all to himself, was he? Do you know that the love of God is this? That he is the light. John chapter 1, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 1 says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all, right? But the love of God is this, not just that God is light, but that he shined his light upon us so that we could receive the light. And if we have received the light, then that light will do the same thing for others. If we have truly received the light and the same love of God, then that light will not be contained within you. But it must shine out on others, for others to receive that light also. Followers not only have the light, but they want others to have the light too. Do you know someone in your own life, someone who has not received the light of Jesus Christ? Someone who has not received Him for who He is? Think of them right now. Pray for them right now as we pause for a second. That person needs you and others to shine the light, which is the love of God, upon them. If that light is in you, Jesus said, if you have a light, don't put it under a bushel. Don't hide it away. He taught us that in Matthew chapter 5, remember? But as you think of that person today, think of how you can take your light out and shine it upon them. And do just as Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read a couple of verses, so I'm turning over there. And this, get this, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But then He left, right? After His resurrection, He went up into the clouds, and He disappeared from the sight of the disciples there on the Mount of Olives. But before He left, He told them, you are the light of the world. In Matthew 5 and verse 14, He said to His disciples, you are the light of the world. You see, when I'm gone and I'm not here anymore, who is going to keep shining this light? It's going to be you. It's going to be you, my disciples. It's going to be you, my church. It's going to be you who is a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither, in verse 15, He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. The Lord Jesus lighted up. He lit us up with His love, didn't He? But He did not hide us away forever. But He has given us a light so that we can shine this light into the community. So that First Baptist Church, so that First Missionary Baptist Church here can shine the light into the community of Hayward and wherever you live. So that you can be the light of the world and not be hidden under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So we need to stop hiding our lights, folks, as individuals and as a church. Separately and corporately, the light needs to shine. The love needs to shine to one another, because that's how you prove that you are a child of God, as you love one another, Jesus said in John chapter 15. As you love one another, you show that you are a son of God. But even still, you shine your love to one another, to encourage one another, so that the light will shine out into the world, because you are the light of the world. And if the love of God is here among you, it will not be contained, but it will shine out. Out of you individually, rays of light, rays of love, rays of joy, and faith, and all other kinds of spiritual fruit, and they will fall on and flow over others all around you. Jesus went on to say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You know how they're going to glorify Him most? When they say, I want that light for myself. When they receive that light, when they receive your love, and they realize that it came to them because God loved you, and you love them, and they receive that love, and they say, I want to love God just like He loves me. They are going to praise Him when that happens. They're going to praise Him when we love others just as the Lord loved us. So be encouraged today. You have a light in you. if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And your following is not done. Your following will not be done until the Lord returns or He takes you home. And the promise is sure that He will give you strength to follow Him all the days of your life. And so, you will walk on and you will walk on in light, no matter how much darkness is around you. No matter how many problems you face, how many struggles, trials, and temptations. It's true what the Scripture says, that darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the people. That Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And if that light is in your heart today, then shine that light upon others around you. As we leave this place today, if that light is not in you today, but you are not believing in Jesus Christ as the light of the world, as your own light, to light the way for your life, to reveal your sin to you so that you can confess it and make it right and live in. Live in the approval of the Father. And confess your sins today. And run to Him who has forgiveness, who has mercy, and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I pray that the Lord blesses you today by His word. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, your Son, the light of the world. We thank you for shining into this world, not only upon the Jews to be the salvation of your people, but we praise you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the light to the Gentiles and the salvation of our God to every nation. That as we read in Isaiah 42 and verse 6, that you have given your Son into the world, a light to every nation, a light to all, Father, to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for shining your glorious gospel upon us today, for binding back Satan in his efforts to blind our hearts. I pray that you would uncover the eyes of everyone here, and that we would receive the light of Jesus Christ, that we would see Him in His glory, blazing as the noonday sun, basking in His love for us, that we would see Him in His mercy toward us for our sins, see Him in His justice toward sin, that one day every one who has not received Him will be banished away, like all darkness, will not withstand the light which shines, and everyone who abides in darkness will be cast into hell. I pray that we would know and feel that reality today, and that souls would tremble who abide in darkness this morning, but that we would be comforted to know that no matter how we have sinned or we do sin, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and that light will never leave us. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen us to shine our lights, the light of your love, as we leave this place today. And bless Brother TP and